We're going to be looking and starting a series on relationship status. And as you can see in the write-up, there are four different sections. We're going to start with single today, and then we'll look at married, and it's complicated, and in a relationship. And so as we start this, I know that some of you in the room, when you hear the word relationship, you've already shut down. And so I hope that you'll allow this discussion to move forward, and that even though these emotions that it evokes, whether it's a frustration because you want to be in a relationship because you are single, whether it's because you're in one of those relationships that are sort of going through some complicated times, and maybe it has left a bitter taste in your mouth. And I would argue this morning that no matter where we find ourselves in our lives today, that God has created for us. He created us for a relationship. And the main relationship that He created us for was to be in relationship with Him. The relationships that we have with each other are to be the backdrop of all aspects of our day-to-day lives. And so all of us have relationships with different people, whether that be business relationships, whether that be teacher-student relationship, whatever that may be. But God created us for relationships. He created us for that purpose. And we are wired for connection with other people. That's how things are put together. That's how we're supposed to move forward. That's how God created us at the very beginning. And so the question that we have for today is, what is our relationship status now? And how do we live in a way that honors God and honors others in light of what that status is? Now, social media has taken status, relationship status, to a completely different level. We are connected with each other with social media in a way that I don't think our grandparents had no idea or way to figure on. They thought the telephone was amazing, right? And before them, of course, my great-grandfather, I remember him talking about the postal mail and how that connected him and his families. And so now we have instantaneous opportunities to see what's happening and to share with the world what's going on. There's instant access to each other's daily lives. And so we can post pictures of what's going on. We can see all these stories and opinions about what the different areas of our life and what's going on in the world today. And the interesting thing about that is that before any of these other options were available, we were able to share things about ourselves and share these types of things about whether we were single, whether things are complicated, whether we're married. But we were able to share them in a more personalized way. We had to talk about them. We had to write about them. There was a delay, in other words, between when people found out whether we were single, whether we were in relationships, whatever. I think there's actually on Facebook, one of the notations is in a relationship, and then there's these ones that I picked for the relationship status board, I think came from Facebook, because it's complicated as one, in a relationship, single, married. Those are all things that you can show on Facebook or Instagram. But, you know, for full disclosure, as we talk about being single today, I've been married for 24 years. But I've enjoyed the time that God has given me with my wife. I love her, even in her glittery silver sweater and probably glittery boots. I mean, my goodness. But the truth is that I've spent more time as a single person in my life than I have as a married person. And most of us have done that. There are some that are older. But the fact of the matter is that the time that I spent as a single person was a time that I spent developing my relationship with God. Whether I knew it or not, at the time, I was taking those times to be discipled. Whether that be with others in the church family, whether that be with my private time with God, all those types of things. And in fact, I would argue that the time that I spent as a single person was some of the most important time of my life. It was during that time that I was able to develop my relationship with God without distraction. And it was during that time that God prepared me to have a healthy relationship in the future. From commercials featuring married couples to romantic comedies on TV or seeing friends through social media on their latest date, the focus often seems to be placed on the need for love, or what the world calls love. In a culture where relationships are often seen as validation of worth, it's tempting to see singleness as a punishment or a waste. A punishment or a waste. But the reality is that God, the message of our culture, is contrary to what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that singleness is a very positive thing. That singleness, in fact, is not considered just a time before we finally meet the one person, but it is the time and is a special gift that is a season. It may be a lifetime. It may be something that you go through a couple of times in your life. But it's actually, if you're single or even single again today, we need to know that there's no reason to feel like we're socially deficient. God wants us to meet. He wants to meet us in a very significant way. Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32 through 34. The Bible says this: I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of the world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of the world. How can she please her husband? Paul is writing to the early church. He's writing to the church in Corinth, addressing practical matters to help them learn how to live in such a way that they honor God and honor others. In the first seven chapters of this book, of the 1 Corinthians letter that we have, we see him talk about a lot of things. But in chapter 7, he turns his attention to the church's relationship status. And he tells us that the reason for this is because Paul knows that there is another aspect of our lives, no other aspect of our lives, that is more important than relationships. And it is important how we develop those relationships and how we relate to one another, because it is, in fact, a reflection of our relationship with God. It's a reflection of our relationship with God. In these few verses, Paul lifts up the benefits of a single life. He tells you why it is that you should be single, or what you should be doing while you're single. And he puts up the benefits, and he says that they are unique to the season of life that is being single and not committed in a dating or marriage relationship.
I can't take that. Hopefully you can hear me. An unmarried man or woman, a focus on pleasing God is what he wants us to do. And so an unmarried man or woman, according to Paul, can be deeply focused on doing things that please the Lord. During the final 2 years of college, and my first 2 years of after I graduated, undergrad, was I worked for the Fisher Baptist Camp and for the Broad Run Association. And so I was working with youth groups and doing things with youth as an unpaid volunteer, but essentially that was what I did. And so as I was working with the Fisher Baptist Camp and with the Broad Run Association and with my church youth group, these were some of the most formative years of my life. Even though I didn't realize it at the time, they helped develop so much of who I am today in my Christian life. I certainly had a social life. I did things that kids my age or people my age would do, but most of the time, I was spending it gladly working with youth and doing things in the church. I was at the football games, and I went to the parties and to the pizza things and to the musicals and the dance competitions and stuff with my cousins and with all of the friends that I had at the time. that I was planning walk-ins, and I was planning Bible studies, and I was planning pizza parties for the kids and the youth, and trying to get folks to come to Christ and see the Lord. And as I did that, I read more of my Bible. I became deeper in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I had a more of a margin for discipline and to be able to take the time to read the scriptures. And spending time in prayer, spending time with my grandmother at the kitchen table praying with her, taking time to be with my mother and to pray with her and my dad. It was a time of focus, and I was able to use it to please the Lord. We were created for relationships, and we were created for a relationship with God. We were created to love, and we were created to be loved, but we were created first and foremost to love God and to be loved by Him. There's no greater focus we could possibly have for our lives. And I thought back as I was writing this about one of the catechisms that I read. You know, one of the things they teach you in church history is you look back through and you see what some of the writings were of the ancient folks that were back closer to the time of Jesus. Written in 1647, there's a Westminster Catechism. And it was put together as a way of capturing the essence of Christian faith and doctrine. It's sort of a listing of what it is to be a Christian, things that we would see in the scriptures, but in a more plain English verse, wording. The true meaning of existence was penned in that Westminster Catechism. In the part, it states this. It says, the chief end of man or woman is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. During a season of singleness, or a lifetime of singleness, if that's what God has in plan for you, we are able, unlike any other time in our lives, to be singularly focused on glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. And so if you're single today, it would be wise to take account of where your focus lies. Where is your focus? Are you more interested in dominating Fortnite? Or are you more interested in pleasing God? Are you more interested in building a big bank account? Or are you more interested in pleasing God? Are you more interested in traveling and sightseeing? Or are you more interested in pleasing God? Paul sees being single as a gift that many do not have. Like any gift, it must be stewarded well. And rather than spending time hoping and wishing for some kind of relationship in the future, spend time now focusing on being the kind of person, through service, through study, through prayer, that pleases God and would please a potential significant other in the future. Now Paul continues his message, and we're going to read verse 35. He continues his message to those who are single in Corinth by giving another benefit of singleness. He says this in verse 35. He says, I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. When someone is single, this undivided life that Paul is talking about, when someone is single, or single again, because of widowing or whatever it may be, whether for a season or for a lifetime, they are able to live with undivided devotion to God. What Paul means is that there are no romantic relationships vying for one's attention. No romantic relationships vying for their emotion. Every person only has so much of themselves that they can give. Every person only has so much. We're limited on time. We're limited in energy. We're limited in attention and affection. And so Paul says when we're single, it can all go to God. When we're all not single, it must be divided. Now, this is something that I had hoped to do today. I actually had Greta and I went shopping yesterday and I bought a pizza and I forgot it today. But I wanted to be able to show you in reality what I'm talking about. Imagine I have a pizza, okay? And we have to cut that pizza into 8 slices, right? Exactly 8 slices. Can't be any less, can't be any more. It has to be 8. Right? You guys don't care. But I do. My pizza has to be sliced into 8 slices. So as we have this pizza, it's sliced into pieces. And the reality is, Our life is represented by this whole pizza. Imagine you had a pizza in front of you. That's your life. When you're single, you have the whole pizza together to yourself. And you can share that with God. You have the whole thing that you can give to the Lord. Every moment of your life is represented by this whole pizza in front of you. Everybody loves pizza. And so we love our life. We want it to be successful. We want to be able to use that. But we only have 8 slices to give. And so we have to be careful what we do with it. So as a single person, we're able to give this entire pizza to God. We probably would eat a piece of it first. But we can give the entire pizza to God. Our whole life can be offered to Him. We can be devoted to Him and Him alone. We're undivided. You see the picture? But as our relationship status changes, so do the demands on our life. When we go into a dating relationship, guess what? That person wants a couple pieces of that pizza. They want some of our attention, right? They want some of our emotion. They want some of what we have to offer. And so we don't have our whole undivided pizza to give to the Lord. We had to give a part of ourselves away to our girlfriend or boyfriend. So they want to go on dates. They want to call and text. And so you become divided. Not a bad thing, but it is something that you need to be aware of. It's something that you need to recognize. What Paul is trying to tell us is in a single relationship, we have the ability to take time and develop our relationship with God. When we're married, believe me, the pizza gets divided. Your wife wants half. Right? There are chores to do. There are things to do. You have to. You want to be in community together. You want to share those things. Your wife or husband needs a lot of you. They need to share chores. They need to budget. There are in-laws that you have to deal with. All those types of things. Your life is no longer only shared with God, but it's shared with a committed marriage. It's a beautiful thing. And then once you have kids, the pizza's gone. You might as well just figure that you don't have anything left. Yeah. I'm kidding, but it's actually true. The more your relationship status changes, follow me, the more your relationship status changes, the less you have and the more guarded that you have to do to be about yourself. The more ways your life will be divided, the more that you will have to fight to be devoted to God. Now, some of you who are in relationships, all of you actually, ought to be able to relate to that. Because it is more difficult to please God. It's more difficult to please and to feel like you're actually whole. The more pieces of your pie you have to give out, the more challenges and the demands that there are. Everybody wants a slice. So the gift of a single life, the gift of being single, in whatever season of your life that is that you have the opportunity to be devoted to God. The gift of single life is an undivided life. It is an opportunity to decide how your devotion is divided up. You get to decide what your time is going to be given to it, who it is that you will serve. In Proverbs 4:23, we see benefits that Paul speaks about in his letter to the Corinthians. There's also caution that has to be taken when we're living a single life. The book of Proverbs gives good advice to the single person to ensure that they navigate a life filled with choices. And it says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. We sang a song last week or a week before. You remember the kids' song that we sang, right? Everything flows from where? From your heart. Overflow from our heart. That's where it comes from. The writer says that above all else, what they introduce here is very important. It's the writer's way of saying, pay attention. Pay attention. The Hebrew word for heart is the word lev. Lev. The Hebrew word understanding and the Hebrew word lev, the understanding that the Hebrews had of what that means is that it was at the very core of what you do. And so what the writer is saying here is take caution about the very core of who you are in your life. You need to remember and cautiously always guard against giving away more of yourself that you aren't able to serve the Lord. They believed that the lev, the heart, was the very center of your being. It was where all of your actions and your thoughts and your life flowed, and it had to be guarded because it affects everything. And that was the third point that we had in our relationship status today. Be on guard. The world offers a single person so many things that can negatively affect the heart and cripple the gift that God gave you for singleness. A single person has to be careful what they allow in, and there are a few big things that have to be guarded against. Number one is you need to guard against greed. The love of money is what? The root of all evil. Greedy. The greedy heart turns on itself. It turns on itself. It turns, and it's difficult for a single person to think of anyone else when they are only thinking of themselves. When we become so focused on what we want, we forget what God wants of us. The second thing is guard against lust. The lustful heart looks for ways to satisfy sexual desires outside of God's design plan. God's intention from the beginning is for the full expression of sexuality to take place in a committed marriage between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. When one is single, the temptation is to forego patience and find shortcuts. Pornography is the easy way out, and it has devastating consequences. From the very first day that I was in ministry, I have had to struggle with people who have been fighting pornography addiction. As I walked alongside of them, you can just see the devastating effect that it has had on their marriage, on their relationship with their loved ones. It's the easy way out. God wants to protect us, but He has to put boundaries in place, and so that's why we have this biblical understanding that it should be between a man and a woman in marriage. The third thing is guard against bitterness. And this is something as single people that you can be persuaded pretty easily that your life isn't really what you want it to be. The bitter heart is unable to be content in its current session in life, and at times, singles may look for people to blame for their single status and become bitter towards them. Other times, singles can blame God, and bitterness towards God can develop. Rather than being bitter, take time to become better by allowing God to have full access to your heart and life. When we guard our hearts, says the psalmist says, we can be best prepared to live a life in full devotion to God and to become the person that God wants for us today. If you're single here today, as you are here in our church sanctuary, or as you're listening to my voice, I want you to know that you're in good biblical company. Jesus spent 33 years here on earth as a single person. Paul, the one who wrote the letter to Corinthians, to Corinth, and the majority of the New Testament, never was married. Never. For those of you that are widowed, Ruth was a widow. And she served the better part of her life as a single woman, and yet her life was marked by fruitfulness and sacrificial love. John the Baptist, he lived a single life and was the forerunner to the coming of the Messiah. I guess that makes sense since he ate bugs and slept out in the woods and wore camel skin. Maybe that wasn't quite as attractive to the ladies as he was hoping for. But regardless, these individuals that I've just named have demonstrated for us that the single life is a gift that God longs to use to form us and to shape us for the life that lays ahead of us. Our relationship status is important. It's important to us. It's important to who we are in our relationship and in our status with Christ. And we need to be thankful for whatever that relationship is. So as we go through these, I hope that we'll see the Lord and His hand in all of this. I want to leave you in a time of prayer today. I want to invite you to refocus your life if you've already been. Become a believer of Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to know Him. I want you to understand what this great single life has to look like, what it is to serve the Lord. So we want to ask for God's help in guarding your heart today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the guidance that you've given to us, the hopefulness that we have to be able to serve you. We thank you for those who are in a season of singleness. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to guide and direct them, that they would see hope, where maybe at the beginning they only see despair. That we would be content in whatever season of life it is that you've placed us in. And that we would realize our most important relationship is with you. God, we ask all this in your Son's name. Amen. Mm-hmm. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn, His Eyes on the Sparrow, if you need to know Jesus, please come forward. If you want to rededicate your life, please come forward. We'll be happy to pray with you. Let us stand.